Welcome, and thank you for listening to the SMA Flash Briefings.
Problems with the secretion of survival signals from muscle cells seems to be the dominant driver of motor neuron loss in spinal muscular atrophy, lower extremity predominant 2, or SMA-LED2, an SMA subtype largely affecting the legs, a study suggests. The study, loss of BICD2 in muscle drives motor neuron loss in developmental form of spinal muscular atrophy, was published in Acta Neuropathologica Communications. SMA-LED is characterized by the death of motor neurons, the nerve cells that control movement, particularly affecting the lower limbs. It is caused by mutations in one of two genes, DYNC1H1 or BICD2, which encode proteins of the same names. Researchers worked with mice that had been engineered to completely lack BICD2. According to their study, these mice, quote, show similar clinical features to humans with severe BICD2 mutations, such as the accumulation of fluid in the brain, or hydrocephalus. This could be caused by one of two ways. Either the lack of BICD2 resulted in problems in the motor neurons themselves, causing their death, called an autonomous mechanism, or it caused problems elsewhere in the body, affecting only motor neurons as a downstream consequence referred to as a non-autonomous mechanism. To find out which was the case, the researchers generated mice that lacked BICD2 in only motor neurons. However, these mice didn't have significantly fewer motor neurons compared to wild-type or healthy mice. The researchers wrote, quote, "We have shown that loss of BICD2 leads to death of motor neurons and that this is a non-cell autonomous process driven by the loss of BICD2 in muscle." They based an explanation for this phenomenon based on the neurotrophin hypothesis, a model of motor neuron development. Simply put, this model suggests that, early on in development, an abundance of motor neurons all connect to the same muscle cells. Then, muscle cells secrete molecules that signal the motor neurons to survive, neurotrophins. But the excess motor neurons don't get these signals and die off. Conceptually, this process results in a just right number of motor neurons for each muscle fiber. The researchers noted that both BICD2 and DYNC1H1 have been implicated in cell secretory pathways. They suggested that the underlying problem in the muscle cells could be problems in cell secretion, which would result in fewer survival signals being sent to motor neurons. In preliminary support of this idea, skin cells taken from three people with SMA-LED2 were examined and compared to cells from three people without SMA-LED2 of a similar age as a control. The SMA-LED cells showed secretion deficits with slower secretion than the control cells. The researchers wrote, "How such a delay in secretion causes a significant loss of motor function can be explained in light of the neurotrophin hypothesis. In this model, a reduction in the rate of secretion would yield a decrease in neurotrophin availability, driving an excess of motor neuron death. Further research will be needed to fully understand the reasons for these disparate findings, and to more fully understand what specific signals from muscle cells are being disrupted." However, the researchers wrote, "The most important point to clarify in future studies is likely to be the precise time point at which motor neuron loss occurs, which is important when considering future therapeutic interventions in SMA-LED2 patients."
Coming up next, I'll share one of my perspectives with you. The COVID-19 pandemic has caused those of us living in the United States, along with everyone else in the world, to rethink not only what's important in our life, it's forced us to think about others, along with their safety and well-being. Since my physical therapy is considered essential medical, I had to make the choice as to whether or not I felt safe enough to continue with my physical therapy in an outpatient clinical setting. Over the course of the past 3 years, I've grown to trust my physical therapists, Emily and Laura, with my life. Having physical therapists work with me to help me achieve my goals meant that I had to allow myself to trust others in a way that I would have never imagined. This level of trust was not necessarily me trusting them as much as it was for me trusting myself to allow others to help me do things that I would not be able to do for myself. These past 3 years have taught me that I can trust Emily and Laura to not only keep me safe from a physical therapy standpoint, but they can also keep me safe from a health standpoint. While I try to isolate myself as much as possible to stay away from others who could be potential carriers of the coronavirus, I think the risk is worth continuing with my physical therapy, and the safety measures that Emily and Laura have put into place in their outpatient clinic makes me feel that the risk is definitely worth the reward. I go to physical therapy for not only my workouts, I go to see smiling faces. With all of them wearing surgical masks over the past month, it just didn't seem the same. So even though it felt somewhat odd not to be able to see them smile, I knew that they were still safe and healthy. I want to personally thank Emily and Laura, along with all of the other physical therapists, doctors, nurses, first responders, and medical personnel, for doing what they do best during the COVID-19 pandemic. Your dedication and commitment to your jobs helps those of us who would otherwise not be able to help ourselves. Thank you.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.smanewstoday.com, and be sure to follow us on social media and join our SMA News Today forums, a trusted SMA community ready to welcome you anytime.